long as it doesn't ring in the middle of the room. I'm not going to say good morning. It's good afternoon, everybody. Keep catching me on that one. I'm still not used to the afternoon service, I guess. But I'm glad you're all here. Appreciate seeing everyone. Well, we're going back to the book of Galatians. And I have to apologize because I'm going to have to do a Back to the Future thing. I was supposed to do an introduction last week, and I didn't. I just went into preaching Galatians. So today I'm going to do the introduction. So I'm going to introduce what I've already preached. So I guess we can call that Back to the Future, right? Oh, well. And for me, it was really a tough week putting this together because when I preach, I've never done an introduction to the book and made a service out of that before. So, no, I mean, it was a challenge, but it was a good challenge. At the beginning of the week, you could have heard me grumbling. But by the end of the week, I was like, you know, that was good. I learned something out of it. And so I appreciate it. I mean, we can have what seems like bad weeks and just keep praying the Lord will turn it around and it won't be so bad at all. I actually enjoyed it by the time I was done. Okay, let's go to the book of Galatians, if you would. We're going to open in a word of prayer because I'm going to need it. Because, like I said, I'm not used to this part. Lord, we do praise you and thank you. You have been good to us, so we don't always see it right away. Lord, we have to truly believe what your word says and that all things are good for us when you're involved. So I give you the glory today, Lord, and I thank you for challenging me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. What is the book about? Is one of the first questions. What is the book of Galatians? What is Paul trying to tell us in this book? And when you start with that and you get an understanding and you build off of it, you kind of get your thoughts going in a direction. And that's what helped because I'm like, where am I going with this? What am I doing? Well, the one thing I learned that Paul was trying to get across here is justified by faith. It's all about being justified, understanding the grace of God, which we talked about last week. Grace and peace was Paul's greeting last week, if you remember that. And understanding that grace, how do we come to that? By being justified by faith. We in and of ourselves, we know that we're not great. We're sinners. It's the best, the best we can say about ourselves is, hey, we need the Savior that Paul is talking about. We need Christ in our lives. As I was looking at Paul's travels through this, and yes, it made me go back and look at the map to see what his travels were like. Galatia is a nation, shall we say, or an area where Paul traveled through on every one of his missionary journeys. So Paul did spend some time in Galatia. So it wasn't like he didn't know these people. And this is a letter that he wrote at one time to the churches there. And what had happened is Paul had ministered to people there. They had churches throughout that area. But the problem they were having in those churches, and this is, if we look back at 2 Corinthians, what was happening there also, as we went through that book, we find that people were being influenced by others, bringing in a gospel that wasn't the true gospel. And this is what we're going to look at, is how Paul works through this in the book of Galatians. I can break it down into three separate sections. And I want to look at the first two chapters, just a glance at the first two chapters. And this is how I'm going to break it down into three different sections, and that's what we're going to be looking at in the next several weeks as we go. Paul is admonishing the people for following another gospel, as he puts it, in verses 1 through 6 here. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from our God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil, according to the will of God the Father, to whom glory be forever and amen. Forever and ever, amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Paul literally says, you're following a different gospel. You did get a little bit sidelined, but you're actually following a different gospel. What was the problem with that gospel? It was based on works. They had to be circumcised. They had to follow the Torah, all the Jewish laws that were there. It was no longer based on what Paul had brought to them, that we're justified by faith, not by works or by what family we came from or anything else. So they had taken the gospel of Christ that was so freely given and started following a completely different gospel, which led them to what? We learn in the first part here that this was not, this was basically a man-made gospel, but what Paul was bringing was not man-made, it came through Christ. But what happened during this period is false teaching had come into the church. Of all people that should look at or be able to tell a false gospel and know where it's coming from was Paul. Why? Paul was a very well-educated man in the Jewish religion. Paul said, I excelled above even the elders in the church as to knowing the Jewish traditions, the religions, and what it was based on. And he said, yeah, this isn't it. We can't be following this. In chapter 2, jumping, you know, right ahead here, like I said, I'm going to just kind of breeze through what we're going to be studying. This is where I struggled because I'm used to breaking it down, and I have to give an overview. So I'm going to jump a lot. But hopefully by the time I'm done, we'll have an idea of where we're headed. Chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, this matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Jesus Christ and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. This was that false gospel that was being taught. Like I said, it wasn't just a little distraction. It was something completely false. Paul was a man who learned, like I said, he grew up under the Jewish tradition. So for Paul, it was a major change in his life. I mean, he was persecuting the churches before God got a hold of him on the road to Damascus. He was very strong in what he believed. So to see Paul change was a major part of it. And this is what makes Paul's conversion so interesting. I mean, in the first or the second half of chapter 1, Paul is showing us how he got his position within the church. Why was he qualified? Why should we listen to Paul? How do we know that Paul wasn't just another false teacher coming in? Do you ever think about that? Can we trust what Paul says? He comes in with a whole new gospel. I mean, the guy's a Judaizer and well-versed. And all of a sudden, Paul changes and comes up with this New Testament part of the scriptures that we read a lot of. Many of the New Testament books are written by Paul. How can we trust Paul? How do we know what he's saying is right? Well, come next week and we're going to look into Paul's life a little bit. How can we trust it? How can we even trust the Word of God? Did you ever have somebody ask you about that? Question you saying, how can you trust that book? Next week. So come back next week. I'm hoping to tease you into coming back. I've done it. When I was preaching in Minnesota, it was interesting because I was working as a maintenance person at the hospital, and sometimes I would get called out for an emergency. It only happened once that I got called out in the middle of a service. I was just into my introduction to the service, and my pager went off. Thanks, worship team. They filled in. So people who do worship, you know, I appreciate them, believe me. And so I had to go in for an emergency at the hospital. And but the introduction was so good that The next week I had more and more, more people in church because they were wanting to hear, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. And so next week we're going to be looking at how can we trust God's word and how can we trust what Paul wrote. So if you're interested, that's what we're going to be dealing with next week. Here, in fact, when we look in chapter 2, it says in chapter 2, verse 11, it says, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him face to face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. Paul is now even challenging his brothers in Christ. And this is how important it is. If Paul was wrong, if Paul was wrong in accusing Peter, what do you think would have happened? But they had influenced the church so much at that point that even Peter was being somewhat persuaded, shall we say. And Paul says, wait a minute, Peter, you're not going to do this. So the depth of the pull from a false teaching can be so great that even leaders can be drawn in. It was interesting because I don't remember where we were at in church, whether it was in Evanston or Minnesota. We had some missionaries come in and we were talking to their son. He was probably about 16, 17 years old. And that was up in Minnesota, Little Falls, actually before we were even in the ministry, that we talked to this young man. Because we had a question and answer time with the youth in the church, and we were working with the youth at that time. And one of the kids asked, is it really tough to live in a third world country? And, is it hard to share the gospel or even live that kind of life? And this young man gets up and says, believe it or not, living in a third world country isn't as tough as living in America. It was like, whoa, what'd you just say? He says, no. He says, the distractions in America for the youth in the church are incredible. We've got games. We've got all kinds of entertainment. We've got all these things to distract their minds from serving Christ. And it was very eye-opening. How easily are people distracted from the true gospel because, hey, this new fad is going on here in this church. They have a great worship team over here, so we're wanting to go over there and listen to the worship team when the word they're preaching isn't quite right. There's so many things that can distract us. Look what it did to the church here, where even Peter was being drawn into this. So we go through this first part of Paul wanting to draw them back into, hey, what you're following isn't right. You need to go back to the word and follow where the truth is and understand what grace really is, what that faith in justification. How are we justified? It's not by a great worship team or great things, what was that? Yep, even that can be drawn. Okay, we're going to move on now to the second part, which is where Paul is talking about, the distraction was coming from where? The Old Testament people. And I can see how people would be distracted by, let's go back into the Old Testament and talk about that. I can lead a lot of people astray by saying, oh, well, look at the circumcision, That's a simple thing, just follow it. Are you sure you're going to heaven because, are you circumcised? Are you sure you're going to heaven because you're not doing enough good works? Whatever the case may be, that could lead people astray. But here in chapters 3 and 4, Paul is making the bridge from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He's explaining to all these Gentile followers in Galatia, saying, guess what? And even the upcoming Jews, people that he's talking to, is it's not about the Old Testament. Here's the transformation that's taking place. I mean, he starts off, if you look at chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, Consider Abraham. Oh, wait a minute here. Where are we going? We're right back to the Old Testament where Paul is taking us. We're going to start from the beginning and work our way through it. He says, consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scriptures foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Now we see his progression starting here. So what he's doing here in these parts, this part of Galatians, is we're moving to say that, okay, here's where the Old Testament was. This is where God started to show that man couldn't live by the law. How many of you can live by the law? Anybody here a perfect lawman, you know, law-following person? I'm glad I'm not seeing any hands. We'd have to have a talk after service. Verse 13 in chapter 3 there. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So he's already taken us from Abraham. Now we're going into the New Testament. In chapter 3, verse 26. But the Jerusalem that is above is free. And she is our mother, for it is written, be glad, O barren woman who bears no children, break forth and cry aloud. I think I jumped ahead. Yeah, I must have missed something. Let me back up just a little bit. No, it's where I'm supposed to be, so let me follow through with this. Be glad, O barren woman who bears no children, break forth and cry out loud. You have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. What he's talking about here is that those who are born of the new Jerusalem, and that is through Jesus Christ, is the freedom that they have. Now let me back up to verse 21. I think I made a mistake in my notes here. Now that I look at this, it says, tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware that of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son to the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a promise. What he's saying here is that those who live under the slave woman, who was Hagar, were under the law, were under this curse that was brought on them. And those who were brought up under Sarah, his wife, was a child of a promise. And that's where we are today. We're under the promise that these were the free. The other ones were a slavery. So what we're discussing here is the fact that, oh, this is why I was wrong. I did get my notes wrong. That was supposed to be verse 21. So this is what we're looking at here, is the freedoms that are born of us, because we're no longer under the law, but rather we are under the freedom of accepting Christ and gaining the justification through faith. It's what we believe. Where was Abraham at all the time? He was under faith. He wasn't under the law. Even though he was born under the law, he wasn't under the law because he was a man of faith. And so chapters 3 and 4, we're going to be looking at that faith that comes along through Christ. Now, chapters 5 and 6, we're going to be looking at the transformation under the New Testament. Paul is trying to finish off his letter with some hope for the people that are there. Change your ways. You started to fall. You went back to the old gospel, living under the Old Testament laws. And now he's trying to correct things. In chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Don't go back into the slavery that they had. What was the difference between the Old and the New Testament? The Old Testament, they were living under the law, and nobody could be justified by the law. Once you've sinned, justification's over. Remember what we talked about last week? If we have grace, when Paul gave us that greeting from the beginning, he said, grace and peace to you from God our Father. If we have that grace, we understand that we're justified by faith, and now we're sanctified through Christ. We have the grace given us, is the only way we're going to survive. Then we'll have that peace with God again, because we lost that peace when we sinned. We actually became an enemy of God when we started to sin, when we first began to sin. All the way from Adam up to where we are now. We are at odds against God until we learn that grace that we have and the freedom that we have, or I should say the peace that we have with God. Because once we have that peace, where are we at? I hope you're all living in a peaceful life with God. Because the problems will be a whole lot less. We may still go through trials and tribulations, but at least now we understand what the future is. Our future has a great outlook if we've accepted Christ and are living for Christ. Our future is great. No matter what happens around us, and in this day and age, we can look at where the world is going. I told my wife the other day I was going to write a post in there. We tend to watch the history channels. And what's really sad is when you look back at the days of Hitler, and I'm not trying to say bad things about certain people, but some of the scariest times we are living in are now, because I can see that the things that happened in Germany at the time under Hitler are starting to happen here. For a freedom country, we're giving our freedom away. And it's scary to think about where we could be going. We live in a great country, people. God has blessed this country more than most of us can even know. And I'm in that group. Because I start looking at third world countries and it's like, God, why do I have such a good life? I have food on my table every day. I have a job. I can bring up my family and enjoy the weekends and do, certain things. We may be coming a time when those freedoms aren't there anymore. And I'm talking the physical freedoms here on this earth. But imagine people who are not living for Christ and die. What is their future outlook? If this doesn't give you a reason to go out and share the gospel with people, I don't think nothing will. To know that how good we've got it, how bad we could be having it, and where our future is. In verses 7 and on in chapter 5, it says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in front of you and kept you from obeying the truth? What are that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord, that you will take no other view." Paul makes a statement there that is important to each one of us. Don't be trapped into following something other than the gospel. How are you going to do that? By staying involved in the gospel, living it, being part of a group that holds us all together, rather than letting a little leaven in the dough to mess up everything. Go to where that leaven's going to be cast out, and that you will be bread for the Lord. He goes on to say in chapter 6, verse 2 through 5, this is the change that should come. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself and without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. We're all responsible for our own lives. Examine yourself. Are you living for the Lord? Are you living for self? Living for others? Are you trying to please others? All throughout the book of Galatians, We see that happening, that people can be distracted. But let's stay focused on the Lord and with justification. Where does it come from? It comes from God. We're justified not by our actions and our lives, shall we say, but we're justified for what Christ has done. And if you keep following Christ, you will be justified. Stay with Him. Finally, I want to finish off this part of it with Paul's last statement here in Galatians. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and your spirit, brothers. Amen and amen. So Galatians is going to give us a lot of interesting information. I'm looking forward to preaching more out of it. And this is why I'm saying next week, I hope when you leave here next week, you can understand the importance of knowing how solid the Word is, that you can trust it. There's so much information there. And it is such a solid writing. And you can look at it from so many different angles and know that this was definitely God's Word. And be comfortable with that and not have to question yourself daily. Am I following the right religion? Am I following the right people? Am I following what I'm supposed to be following? Have I got eternal life or have I got a questionable life? And with that, I want to close, if you will, just bow your heads and we'll pray. Lord, thank you. I give you the glory and the honor today for just starting to look at your Word. Lord, help us as we go through to be able to learn more about your Word, be able to put our faith in you completely and not have to fear what the world has to offer or being dragged away to a different gospel. Lord, keep us focused on you. And may your name be praised today. Amen. Amen. Paul, did you want to come up? Oh, we got another song. I'm sorry. I'm trying to cut you off too soon. I'll get out of the way.
Please stand with me.